If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hello.
What?
We are anxiously awaiting the big reveal.
Well, I can tell you right now that you've been waiting on that big UNLV ranking. They're 24th.
Okay. Remember when they had a shot at the playoff?
Yeah. Remember when Missouri did? Oh, wait. No. They're 23.
Well, they're revealing the new college football playoff rankings.
Yeah.
And we're here for it because I like to look at the first-round matchups. I think they're interesting.
Remember, Dave always said, too, that Dave Bartu always talks about how they rank these bottom teams basically as a feeder system for the top. They manipulate them so that the teams they want to benefit from, quote, top 25 wins.
Yeah.
So they'll play around with
so who would that be?
15 like, through whatever.
Is somebody that Georgia beat in there?
Well, Missouri being in there, maybe something, you know.
Well, who'd they lose?
Missouri 7-3, and the three games they've lost have been just horrific ass kickings, but I'm guessing
so they lost to Bama, South Carolina, and
A&M. So might be there for Bama and A&M. But we'll see.
Got to get Bama in that tournament.
I'll tell you what.
You know what I'm saying?
I like Alabama. I think Alabama's playing good football right now.
Got to get him in that tournament.
Yeah. Well, Bama, I don't think that if you're talking about a team, if you're Oregon that you wouldn't want to see on your side of the bracket, I kind of think it's Alabama.
Or Ole Miss. I don't want any part of Ole Miss.
Yeah.
After watching them against Georgia.
Yeah, their defensive line.
Dude, they're nasty.
Really, really good.
They're coming together at the right time, too.
What an exciting time.
Yep. I like that.
I'm excited, too, about, Army's sitting there at 9-0. Everyone's talking about how Boise State getting a bye. Boise State better watch themselves. Boise State ends up stubbing their toe, and the Black Knights are sitting there. Remember, only one of those teams is going to get to go. And if Army goes undefeated and Boise State ends up with two losses, keep an eye.
I will keep an eye.
Yeah.
Four of them, actually.
I think it'd be amazing if Army made the tourney.
So there's 21, according to Yahoo Sports, there are 21 teams that still have a shot.
Yeah.
And this is why the expanded playoff is great.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got schools like SMU, mm-hmm. Iowa State, Army, Tulane.
Well, how fun is it right now? So
still alive.
Colorado is now at 16. They're 8-2. Arizona State's 8-2. And I think they were, 21, 22? They passed it, but they're in their 20s. How awesome is it that two teams like ASU and Colorado that no one gave two S's about, all of a sudden at the end of the year are Big 12 title contenders and possibly college football playoff material? I mean, that's awesome. BYU, by the way, plummeted all the way down to 14.
You worried yet?
Well, it just goes to show you, again, what the committee thought of BYU. So BYU loses one game on a last-second play, and then they fall eight spots. You know, it just... They never thought much of BYU, but BYU knew all along.
Should they have?
You got to win, and you control your own fate. Win out, win the Big 12, and you're in. That's their only chance.
So the four schools still alive in the Big 12 are BYU, Colorado, Arizona State, and Iowa State. The three schools still alive in the ACC are Clemson, SMU, and Miami.
Yeah.
The four schools still alive in the Big 10 are Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, and Penn State. Obviously, we talked about that. Notre Dame is obviously still alive. Then you have Texas A&M, Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, and Tennessee all alive in the SEC.
Yeah.
And then Army, Boise State, and Tulane, really the only three left in the group of five.
It would be kind of what I want to see, the test of you don't punish a team for the conference championship game. If BYU wins their next two and goes into the Big 12 title game as a 11-1 team, and then somehow loses the Big 12 title game to whoever it is, ASU or Iowa State or whatever. That's the only thing that would bother me. BYU is not one of the best teams in the country, but that crap would bother me if they did that because they wouldn't do it to a Big 10 champion. They wouldn't do it to an SEC champion, but I could see them screwing over an ACC or a Big 12 team. Absolutely, I could see that.
Colorado's best win, Kansas State, but that, I don't know what happened to their offense, but all of a sudden they can't move the ball at all, Kansas State.
hey, Colorado looks good right now.
Oh, wait, no, they didn't beat Kansas State. They lost to Kansas State.
Oh, that was one of their losses. They lost to Kansas State, and they lost to, what, Nebraska?
Nebraska.
Yeah.
So Colorado's best win?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably who? I mean,
Texas Tech?
Texas Tech? And yet right now everyone's jockeying Everyone's jockeying Colorado. What were they? What did Colorado come
in? I ran through that bull junkie.
16.
16. So they're they're only two spots below BYU, who has one loss on a last second play.
I mean, look, when you're in the Big 12 right now, any of those teams, you just need to win that
league.
You
gotta win it. And if not, then it's probably on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not
getting it. Well, it's not probably. It is on you.
I don't think they're gonna get two in. And someone else pointed out, and I didn't necessarily realize this, that Army's run here of perfection, they get Notre Dame.
Yeah, this week.
Yeah. God, I want nothing more than Army to beat Notre Dame. It would be freaking amazing.
Knock Notre Dame out.
Oh, yeah. Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, and yet Notre Dame's going to get a run? Look what Notre Dame has. So Notre Dame, I guess their big win would be A&M. They beat Texas A&M at the beginning of the year when A&M was dreadful. And outside of that, I guess they beat Louisville.
Meanwhile, Northern Illinois, who they lost to, is an underdog to Miami of Ohio tonight.
Yeah. I mean, Notre Dame just has
no doubt Buck's got money on that.
Notre Dame has a primrose path. I guess Louisville would be their other one. Yeah.
SMU's best win?
They lost to BYU.
You want to take a gander at that one?
Because they haven't played Clemson or Miami.
Nope. Missed them both.
So probably what, Pitt?
Pitt.
Would be their best?
They beat them 48-25.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Pitt.
SMU looks good, but again, if you're in the ACC, you probably got to win the whole thing. I'm not certain. I don't think there's any guarantee that the ACC or the Big 12 gets more than one team in, especially if you have that big logjam and the SEC, and if you add Notre Dame into that mix.
But I just, you know, I mean, looking through these schedules, some of these teams still alive, particularly in the Big 12, but the ACC too. It's like, I get why the SEC teams are pissed.
Yeah. Well, someone said this on the text line, and this is, I agree. Like, I'm not one of these guys that sit there and shakes their fist at the SEC. How many of these teams would have three losses if they played
100%
in the SEC? And that's
their point.
It's true. It's like, if you put BYU or SMU or Colorado in the SEC, they would not be in the position they were in.
But people are going to have the same things to say about a one-loss Indiana and a one-loss Penn State. Yes. What would they do in that conference?
Yeah.
But you could also...
You only play who you play.
You could also go back to Kirby and go, look, dude, you guys only play 8 conference games.
Yeah.
And you get freaking UMass. How about this? Schedule a big game.
Well, there
and
it is.
Win it.
Here it is. We got Indiana at 5, Penn State at 4, Texas at 3, Ohio State at 2.
Who's number one?
That little team out west. Look at that. 11-0 Oregon Ducks.
They're just cruising.
Indiana at 5. Just the idea.
What an opportunity.
Indiana at 5 just blows my damn mind.
That won't last long. I think Ohio State.
I think so,
too. They'll have something for them.
Yeah. Google me, bitch. Well, and I'll go to my grave saying that Penn State isn't the fourth best team in the country.
Well, of course not.
There's not, but
they're there. It's not about best. It's deserving.
It's deserving.
They only have the one loss.
And if you're Penn State.
And by the way.
If you're Penn State, you're probably actually thrilled. Like, you're just sitting there. As long as Ohio State takes care of business, you're Penn State, you just sit back and are like, cool, I'll see you in
the
playoff.
Win your last two games, you'll probably be in there.
Yeah. Well, not probably. It's a guarantee.
I think Ohio State is. I will go to my grave right now saying Ohio State feels like it's in a great spot.
Sure.
Because Indiana, you know, I mean, they should beat it. They're double-digit favorites over an undefeated team.
Yeah.
Big game this week, but they should win that. Yeah. They're at home. You win that, you beat your rival who's down, who you want to kick their ass anyway.
Yeah.
Then you get a rematch with Oregon, and they want that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ohio State probably feels like this is all teed up.
Yeah.
Just take care of business. Because a lot of people think Ohio State's the best team in the country.
Yeah. And by the way, look at what they've done right here. Because of the BYU loss, they have Boise State now as the fourth best conference champ. They got Boise State getting a bye.
So they flip-flop Boise State and BYU.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they
what
have
a
the,
world if Boise gets a bye.
The 8-9 is Notre Dame-Alabama now. Last week it was Notre Dame-Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of ball left to be played. But just the idea that Boise State, who, can we... also be honest here for a minute. Boise State hasn't been relevant in years. People keep acting like Boise State is some sort of team that's like been knocking on this door. Boise State has not been good.
People's core memories of Boise State are wild upsets, so yes, they just think they're always that team.
They're not. Go look at Boise State on a year-to-year basis over the last 10-plus years. Boise State has been the definition of average. But they're having a hell of a year. Let's see, take a look-see here at Boise. And we know that they had the close game against Oregon. They beat Washington State.
Good win.
Yeah. And right? then that's, but honestly, this is going to sound crappy, but the best thing Boise State has done is almost beat Oregon. It's true. Like it's a,
well, yeah, that doesn't look bad. Oregon's 11-0.
Yeah.
And that was at Autzen.
But like, again, the idea, and this is where I get a little pushback over like the resume thing. Yeah, you can make fun of the SEC. You could say that Penn State, the idea that Boise State is the fourth best team in the country and deserves a bye is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sorry, when you're playing the San Jose States and the New Mexicos and the San Diego States of the world, you don't get the fourth best spot.
It's just,
but it's not best. That's not what they're ranking. They're ranking most deserving. Well, there's two different things.
They're not deserving it for
it. Doesn't feel like they're deserving or best.
Of course not. But that's also because the Big 12 isn't very good.
Yeah.
You know, that's why. Big 12 had, if BYU were still undefeated, yeah, Boise State isn't.
Or if Colorado or ASU had one loss.
I'll say it right now. Whoever it is, whoever wins the Big 12, and I honestly think at this point it may be Colorado. I don't think it's going to be BYU. I think BYU loses this week to Arizona State.
What if it's ASU?
If ASU or if Colorado runs the table, right, and they win the Big 12 title.
Watch out for Rock Chalk this weekend.
Who do they got?
Colorado.
I like them this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
live dog there, bro.
If Colorado or ASU runs the table here and wins it, they should get the bye, not Boise State. Yeah. Just in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see.
Boise State's schedule is warmed over dog crap, and I just can't understand in what world that gets a bye.
A lot of these teams have warmed over dog crack schedules, including Miami.
Yeah, but again,
Indiana, BYU.
There's a big difference. You can say that the Big 12 or the ACC is warmed over because the teams aren't very good. For God's sakes, look who Boise State plays.
The first team out this week. So last week it was Georgia.
Yeah.
This week it's Tennessee.
Yeah.
So now we get to hear Josh Heupel, bitch.
And having seen Tennessee play, Tennessee has the win over Bama. That's their calling card, but
they haven't looked very good since.
No. And their offense just looks, if there's a team from the SEC that gets left out in the cold, I'll tell you right now, I think it's Tennessee.
All right. Coming up next, should we revisit Friday Not So Fight Night?
I'll tell you what, it did big fight numbers, if you believe them, because a lot of people are saying, eh.
People are saying.
Well, there's a lot of people that are in the boxing world, including a couple big-time promoters. And you can say what you will about, boxing promoters. They are calling Horsnears on Netflix, and they're calling Horsnears on Jake Paul. In fact, one of the biggest promoters and boxers flat out said, go ahead and sue me. Prove me wrong. He's flat out calling him a liar.
All right. That's next on the Fan. All right. Well, Friday night, I would say it got my money, but it didn't. It just got my eyeballs.
Got a lot of eyeballs.
The Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lame, as predicted.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody knew that, but
I tried telling as many people as I could that thing was not a real fight, and people did not want
They didn't care.
People did not want to listen, and people kept thinking that Mike Tyson was going to win that fight.
I don't think they did. I think what that fight had was, because I think everybody deep down knew that Tyson was too old and this is going to suck. But I think we were all willing to watch and pay that price to be disappointed on the off chance of the what if.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. It looked as expected.
It was pathetic.
But it was very bad. But the attraction was the what if. Mm. And Tyson just has a lore, man. He has a following. He's like freaking Tiger Woods on steroids from back in the day. Like, he just had that. He had people captivated. And so for one night at the age of 58, a lot of people were like, well, what if? So I got to tune in. And of course, it didn't happen.
I think you nailed it. I never thought that Jake Paul was not going to win the fight. But also, I waited all eight rounds kind of holding my seat. Like, is Tyson going to connect with one? Just with one. Didn't think it was good. Didn't think he was going to. But I thought there was the off chance. And that's why I stayed for all eight rounds.
Well, and that's the thing.
And that's why people watched.
After there were two rounds, they had 16-ounce gloves on. They were basically hitting each other with cushions. No one was knocking anyone out. I even told you before the fight, there was probably a gentleman's agreement between the two of them not to go head hunting. And I
think, yeah, that's true, because Paul could have pummeled him.
Yes, and he didn't.
Especially late. And he didn't.
Yeah, so neither side, it just wasn't a real fight. And Tyson almost died 8 months ago. A year and a half ago, Tyson was in a wheelchair. He couldn't walk. And after the first two-minute round, I just felt bad. It just was a sad. It felt like a dog that you needed to get put out to pasture.
Yeah, it really was sad.
And to me, it's just an indictment on, I don't know. It's an indictment on sports. It's an indictment on our culture. It's an indictment on the influencer thing that became the as big as it did. It's I think it's sad, like, and pathetic.
I look at it a little differently. I just think they captured our imaginations with the what if, and we were willing to tune in to see if something happened. And of course it didn't. And we kind of knew that, but you know, if Tyson's getting $20 million for it, yeah. I mean, I don't care. I thought it was really cool watching him walk into the ring. I'm like, you know, there's Tyson just has an aura for people that they wanted to see that one last time. It was almost like Tiger winning the Masters again.
I actually thought that was the saddest part. There's all the pomp and circumstance for Jake, and then Mike just walks out there.
I thought it was great.
I thought he looked like he didn't want to be there. Like, he just had to do it for the money and all the spotlights on him. Of course, but that's what made it look sad. It looked sad and pathetic.
And everyone from Dana White to Lou DiBella to Bob Arum, everyone says that the numbers that they throw out there, Tyson doesn't sound like Tyson got $20 million. Jake Paul didn't get his 60. They're saying the two women that fought on the undercard, they did not get paid $6 and $8 million.
Why not?
Because all the numbers that MVP Promotions and Jake Paul throw out there, almost anyone that is inside that sport looks at those numbers and say they're just not real. Like 108 million people, they were saying, tuned in at once to watch that.
So it's like Trump and his rally numbers?
It certainly feels that way. And look, this all I know is I try to listen to a lot of people that are involved in TV, and they're like, dude, those numbers are not true. And in Netflix, again, those are coming from Netflix.
60 million? Is that what they said?
Yeah, 108, they said 60 million households and 108 million people. Dude, that's damn near the Super Bowl. I don't know.
Well, DoorDash said they had a higher food delivery surge for that than the Super Bowl.
Did they really?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it was a big deal, dude. And a lot of it was that it was just on Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's pay-per-view, I'm not paying for it.
That's a big deal.
But yeah, it was a big deal because it's like, oh, it's on there. Let's see. My wife was even into it. Because
who's paying $59.99 to watch
exactly.
that?
I'm not watching
Nobody.
That.
I'll say this. This is what I will give Jake Paul credit for. And it pains me because I grew up being a boxing fan and I still really enjoy boxing and I love combat sports. And I just think what this is again, I think it's a sad indictment on where we're at, but this is where I will give Jake Paul credit. He's a good athlete. He's roided to the gills, but he's a really good athlete and he has dedicated himself to being a better boxer. He's put a lot of time and effort into it. He is a dog-ass fighter. And if he fought anyone that was even remotely his age, remotely his size, it would be a pummeling of a lifetime. But what he does well, besides work, he works really hard and he puts a lot of time and effort into this. He may be the best promoter there is because he keeps getting people to buy into this shtick. And until people wake up to it, eventually people have to be wise to this and be like, I'm not going to keep paying attention to this. I keep thinking that, and yet it doesn't happen. The one time that he fought someone who's not even a boxer, he just fought the brother of a great boxer in Tyson Fury's brother. He got his ass kicked. like, he's a terrible fighter, but he keeps picking non-boxers or 58-year-old senior citizens that damn near died a year before and that were in a wheelchair 2 years. And people, it just, I don't know, I have a hard time processing that, but I guess that's where I give him and his brother credit. It's like the Kardashians. You can hate the Kardashians all you want. Give them credit because they get people to pay attention to them. And maybe that's something that boxing can learn from this and combat sports in general. Maybe you take a page from him because no one pays attention to boxing the way that they pay attention to Jake Paul. And for that, I give him all the credit in the world.
A little bit of an indictment on boxing, though, too.
It's a horrible indictment into boxing.
Because I love boxing, but there's nothing for me to watch. I mean, dude, I'm not going to watch Jake Paul.
Yeah.
I want to watch real fights, but give me the last good one. Give me the last one that I needed to see besides Pacquiao Mayweather. And that was like, when was that?
Oh, that was years ago.
Yeah. Like, that's the last time. You can grab me as a sports fan, as a boxing guy. You can grab me. I'm there for you.
Yeah.
But you have given me nothing. Nothing except one last hurrah with Mike Tyson, and I was there for it.
That's the other weird one, too, is like Tyson's not even he's not even an all-time great fighter, but, you know.
But he's Mike Tyson.
Come he's an all-time great icon.
Yeah,
he's
you Mike can't Tyson. Deny the no. Mike Tyson aura.
No.
Did you like the fact that Rosie Perez was on the call?
And that was the other thing is I was sitting at a bar, and so it was on because I was at a bar.
Were you able to hear the announcers?
Kind of, sort of.
Because they were horrible.
Yeah, and that's what people were saying, and it kept glitching out and kept, like, it kept...
A lot of buffering, yeah.
Yeah, and some people were obviously pretty pissed. I didn't really care because I didn't really care about the fight, but there were a lot of people there that were rather angry about it. Yeah, and again, it's just turned into a spectacle. And
well, do better, boxing.
It's a spectacle that people wanted to tune in for.
Put somebody else out there who's got some cachet.
Yeah, well, Tyson Fury and Dante Wilder was really good. I was trying to think of the last time that we had just, you know, a monster fight that people cared about. Now, if you're in boxing, there are some fights that people would be into, but I'm trying to think of ones that really captivated the public. And I would probably say those were the last ones, because Wilder and Fury were just these larger than life human beings. And Tyson Fury is this great character, the Gypsy King, and Dante Wilder throws bombs. But again, I'm guessing you didn't pay much attention to that.
Nope. I feel like the ones HBO does the hype series for, like, those are the last ones I remember being iconic. The Mayweather Pacquiao Hatton ones, where they had 24/7 leading up to those fights. I can't remember being intrigued by fights since then.
No, I like the sport.
Well, HBO's out of, I mean, and this just tells you where boxing is at, in that, like, HBO and Showtime are out of the game, basically. They don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the sport, but I'm also just, I'm a casual fan in that I just need, I need more. I need personalities. I need stars.
Spence and Crawford fought, and that was a big one. But again, unless you were like that was probably the most anticipated fight that I've seen in years. Two of the very best, and it didn't end up being a great fight. And again, I don't know how many people got roped into that. As a fight fan, I cannot recall a bigger buzz that the general public had than Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. And that is so weird to me. It's hard to process.
Hey, we got to see Mike Tyson's butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you catch that at the bar?
I saw that at the bar. In fact, that was probably the highlight of the night.
I think that it was all downhill from there, wasn't
it? Yeah. Yeah.
And Roy Jones on the call fighting with, so you didn't hear this, but Roy Jones, Rosie Perez, and whoever the fight guy was, the announcer. The announcer and Roy Jones kept arguing about why Tyson was biting his glove.
Yeah, because they tried to put the sound on for the actual Tyson fight.
So did you hear them fighting?
Yeah, and they.
So Jones would not listen to the guy.
And someone said that he would do that forever.
The guy, Jones said Jones was the worst commentator I've ever heard on a sport ever. Yeah. And that's saying something, because Rosie Perez was on there. She was better than he was.
Yeah.
And Roy Jones knows fighting, but my God.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, he's biting his glove. There's something wrong with his mouthpiece. There's something wrong with his mouthpiece. And the announcer kept saying, Roy, I've done Tyson fights. He does this. He has a thing with the...
Well, he said after the fight,
tick.
It's a biting tick station.
They asked him about it, and he said that. But Roy would not let it go. He's like, I got a problem with this. It was a mess. The whole thing was a mess.
Yeah.
All the drunk celebrities.
Well, if this didn't officially kill boxing, then I don't know what will. Because this...
How about a 60-year-old Mike Tyson?
Well, just get another YouTuber up there pumping up his fight. Right. We will all do this again, I promise.
Logan Paul.
Would this work in any avenue that if we got someone who wasn't very good at their craft, but was a big name and was an unlikable force and just manufactured this, would people tune into this no matter what?
Bronny James?
Yeah, like...
What do you mean? Like somebody taking up a new sport?
Well, yeah, like if you had some sort of influencer and then like challenged LeBron James to a one-on-one match, I mean, or is it the fact that it's fighting? I mean, it's fascinating that this is he's bad. He is legitimately a bad fighter. He is not a professional fighter. And yet he is probably the biggest draw right now in the game, but only because he fought Mike. Like, he can't do this again.
But could he have done this in another sport?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he could. He's got quite a following.
Yeah. But I honestly think that for Jake Paul, the gig is probably up now because you can't keep doing this.
Coming to an NFL training camp near you.
Right? Jake Paul. Yes.
Linebacker Jake Paul.
One of the cruiserweight champs just said, dude, if you fight anyone in the top 15 and win, I will fight you for a world championship. Like, eventually, you can't keep fighting like retired MMA guys and 60-year-old men.
Or converted fighters from one sport to another.
Or can you? Can you just keep putting your foot in the... Are we that dumb that we just keep buying?
You know what? He's going to go back to that well till it's dry, I'll tell you that much.
Well, hell yeah. And remember, as somebody points out on the Vancouver Ford text line, we all watch Tiger King, okay?
Yeah. And this is, this is why I give Jake Paul all the credit in the world, is he gets people to pay attention. And he gets people to spend money.
I don't really know why, though. I mean,
I don't get it either.
I don't get him.
I also have a question. This sincerely. Does Rosie Perez have a specific connection to boxing?
She's from Brooklyn.
And I think she's a boxing fan.
Well, Tyson's from Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah, and she's a boxing fan. So they brought her in.
Still feels like a reach of her qualification.
Well, yeah. They brought her in for the Tyson,
She knows him because she grew up in the same city?
The nostalgia of, what Tyson means to Brooklyn and what Tyson means, you know.
I feel like you could have done one segment with her. you didn't make her a host.
I'm not defending the idea of Rosie Perez on the call, but this is shocking to say. Rosie Perez was not the worst one call.
She wasn't. I just didn't understand how she got there.
All right, we got to go. Coming up next, in the Nuez, here is Buck. All right, nice to have you along. Way behind. November 19, 2024. It's time for In the News. I'm Ian Odo-Dews, man. Hello. Thank you.
Mwah.
Mwah. That almost sounds like you're doing the chef's kiss. This is brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at Advocates Law.
If you've been kicked in the face by a pickleball opponent.
AdvocatesLaw.com. Did I say that? AdvocatesLaw.com?
There you go.
Did I say that?
You just did. I didn't even say it before.
It is International Men's Day. Shout out to you.
Yeah, go men. Wait, I'm not international.
Yeah, but it just means all around the world.
Celebrate the men.
It's about time we had our day.
When's the white man finally going to get his due? This is ridiculous.
Been waiting all this time.
I know.
It's also National Macchiato Day. Do you know what a macchiato is?
Isn't that like a sort of latte sort of thing? Like a coffee drink? Is it not?
It is an espresso drink.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what makes it a macchiato.
It has a small amount of steamed or foamed milk on top, guys.
Oh, right.
That is a macchiato.
So it's just an espresso with a foam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Steamed.
I don't drink espresso, coffee, or macchiatos, but to each their own.
Well, we got a new concert coming to town.
Ooh, what do we got? What do we got?
This is a big one at Providence Park. You know, they're doing the big...
Yeah, but we're going to have to wait a while. You can't have a concert in the middle of December.
So next week at Providence Park...
Rain or shine!
No, this one will be... What'd they say?
Summertime.
June 28th.
Yeah, right in the middle.
At Providence Park.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to Portland and playing their musical instruments for us.
Barry Manilow.
Did you say Barry Manilow? Yeah.
Mel Torme.
No. Mel Torme? No.
The Velvet Fog?
Bigger.
What? Creed.
Post Malone.
Oh, Posty. It's my buddy's favorite artist. He loves him some Post Malone.
I gotta say, I think Post Malone's awesome.
Yeah, I got no issue.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I'm picking up what he's putting down. Yeah, there's just something catchy about his stuff.
Yeah, I like him.
I find him to be
he's great, a
fun personality, too, every time I hear an interview. I wouldn't say his music is my favorite, but I enjoy what Post Malone has to offer.
All the face tattoos are a little off-putting, but, you know, we live with it.
Well, now he's country.
I know, and I kind of like that album, too.
Yeah, I don't think he's really done much that I haven't enjoyed.
Yeah.
They're calling it the Big Ass Stadium Tour, and he will be playing with Jelly Roll.
Yeah, there's another guy that, for whatever reason, dude, he is so hot right now. I don't quite get it, but people love.
He's a big old dude.
He's,
right?
He's twice as big Post Malone.
Yeah, same thing. They just got a bunch of face tattoos. So Jelly Roll works with everybody. If there is a song out that's a hit right now, there's a chance Jelly Roll's on.
Collab.
Yeah.
June 28th, Providence Park. Mm-hmm. Buckle up.
I'll probably be there. That's one that I'll take a swinge at.
The snow is coming.
Great. We had hail the other day.
I know. And snowflakes.
Yeah, it kind of felt a little snowy. The hail seemed a little soft. It was a wintry mix.
The first big snowfall of the season has prompted a winter storm warning through tonight in the Cascades above 1,500 feet. And more snow will be falling at the resorts. Mm.
So, yeah, they're all open right now, right?
So you bros can go ski.
They're soft open, but they're open?
Yes.
Yeah, I think all of them have soft openings. We were talking about it in the news just like a week or two ago.
Well, that was last week.
Oh, yeah. I think they're up and running.
Yeah. We're going to go with it.
Yeah.
So we got some snow up there.
So go shred some fresh pow-pow and get a face tattoo.
Some cherry gnar, brah.
Yeah. As someone points out, you are seeing a lot more face tattoos on the youth these days.
Are you?
Yeah, the face tattoos are becoming a thing. It's a bold move, Cotton.
Well, guys our age, we can't get behind that.
Well, I have a bunch of tattoos, but the...
Not on your face.
Not on my face. I follow the old Brian Setzer line of do not get a tattoo where the judge can see it. And I'm covered in tattoos, but yeah, creeping up the neck onto the face or the head, or down on the hands. See a lot of those too. A lot of fingers and hand tattoos.
What was I going to tell you? No, I've lost my place.
Well, we were talking about some fresh pow-pow. You know,
cherry pow, bro.
The winter snow coming.
Oh, a bomb cyclone.
I think.
You know
that
what that's
today.
Called?
Yeah.
Or I mean, you know what that is?
We talked about the old bomb cyclone, and really, it's nothing other than it's just a term that we use to scare people.
It's basically depression in a bottle.
Depression in a bottle.
Yeah. And Mother Nature slings it at our head.
All I know is Matt Safino explains how to stop worrying and love the bomb cyclone, or at least find a way why it won't hit Oregon too hard.
Oh.
There's nothing.
Great.
Winds
and rain, basically, is all you need
exactly.
to know.
Exactly.
And it's already started.
But we have to conjure up.
Yeah.
You know,
needs a name.
We need big terms. Then Andy Carson has something to talk about.
High wind warning. 25 to 35 miles per hour. Gusts up to 60 are expected. Snow in the mountains, as I mentioned.
So it's a storm.
No, it's a bomb cyclone.
It's a storm. Yeah. It's a storm with rapid pressure drop. Cool. So.
What technically a bomb cyclone is it will strengthen 24 millibars, which is units of pressure, in a 24-hour period.
That's what I was thinking, the millibars.
Yeah. That's why, but only 24.
Yeah.
That's why they call it a bomb cyclone.
I also love, too, that they say that the wind gust can get as high as 95 in a bomb cyclone. And then, like, a paragraph later, but they're expecting in Portland around 40. So, but I love how you're like, it could be up to 95. It'll be 40. So.
Well, you know, gusts.
Here's the situation.
Yeah, I will say every now and then when I'm driving over the bridge and one of those gets you, you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Hold on,
you go over like half a lane.
Have you ever seen a gust when you're driving behind a semi truck?
Oh yeah, that'll get your attention,
big time.
Yeah,
it's over.
Again, I would tell everyone in really bad weather, just slow down and give the person in front of you, especially a big semi truck.
Not me.
Give them a lot of distance. You ride up on that.
Not me.
Right up on that ass. Let's go.
Ooh, Lori Chavez Dreamer has a new job.
Should I know who that is?
Well, yeah.
She ran for something.
Yeah, she was running for the House seat in Oregon with Janelle Bynum. Remember a very close race?
I do remember
She's
that.
The Happy Valley Karen.
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, Trump has picked her for her for his cabinet.
Oh, exciting. Along with Dr. Oz and anyone else that's had a TV show.
To do what, may I ask?
Well, I'll tell you next, huh?
Look at that tease.
In the news on the Fan. Just a little posty.
Coming not so soon to us.
Yeah. June 28th. What's going on? We're doing In the News here, you little bitches. November 19, 2024. Lori Chavez Dreamer has a new job. She lost to Janelle Bynum in the race for the House, Oregon's 5th congressional district. Lori, the former, I believe, the former mayor of Happy Valley, maybe?
I think that's correct.
Yeah. She lives out there. Well, she will be the new U.S. Labor Secretary.
Okay.
Under Donald J. Trump, our new president.
Is she in any way qualified to do that?
Your fearless leader. I don't know. Mm. I mean, are any of them?
I love that. Like, it's just...
It's going to be a long 4 years.
It is something else. We got... Dr. Oz today was tabbed to run, like, Medicaid, Medicare. What? Like, yeah. Matt Gaetz is the attorney general? Like,
we'll see about that.
Let's go.
Well, I just...
Well...
So...
She's 56. She has served in a variety of roles. She was mayor of Happy Valley. She's married to her high school sweetheart, Sean.
Oh, Sean. It's adorable.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking for qualifications in here, and it doesn't say.
Yeah.
But she'll be handling labor practices.
At this point, it just doesn't even matter. You kiss the ring, and you're good to go.
That's right.
Maybe I should have done that.
You certainly could have. You missed your opportunity, though.
I missed my opportunity. I could have been useful.
Not anymore.
Just start doing the...
What would be your job? What cabinet position would you be?
God, I'd like to be something over finance. I think that'd be the easiest way to try to scam some money. Or maybe just a nice advisor. I can do that, right? Hang out at Mar-a-Lago and, you know, just offer advice on things. Not national security. Get me in charge of that.
Who do you put in charge of national security? Wasn't it old...
Wasn't it Kristi Noem?
No, it was... it might have been Kristi Noem.
Or Gabbard.
Gabbard.
Okay, and then...
I think.
So one of them was Homeland Security and one of them was like Department of Defense, and I can't remember which. But Noem got something and Gabbard got something too. I can't remember which was which.
It doesn't.
Hell yeah.
It doesn't really matter at this point, does it?
Suki could be the Department of the Treasury. Going to do that?
There you go.
There you go. Put me in charge of some money.
Secretary...
Looking to get a nice cushy gig.
You'd be the most corrupt of all of them.
Oh, 100%. Dude, I'm here for it. Let's go. I want some of that Jared Kushner Saudi money. Let's do it. Put me in line with Hunter Biden. What did he do? Just give me something like that.
Yeah, I saw he was at Disneyland the other day.
Was he?
Disney World or something? Yeah.
One of those deals where some like oil company gives me like $4 million and no one really can figure out why.
You should probably be head of like the EPA then.
There you go.
You know, that you can pretend you're doing good for the environment, but just taking money under the table.
My laptop's just full of just me and hookers and blow. I'm like, ah.
Ooh. I have hooker news.
Ooh. I saw this over on 82nd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your old stomping grounds.
Yeah, I drive by there quite a bit, and I see the lovely ladies out there, and you shouldn't pick them up.
Why not?
Well, it turns out they're cops.
Yeah, there was a sting. Former Portland police sergeant Christopher Kennedy.
Yeah, come on, Christopher.
Who joined the police bureau in 1999.
Shouldn't you know?
He was promoted to sergeant in 2012. He retired in January of this year. He was arrested in a prostitution sting.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Rat farts. Yeah, you would think, like, at least he retired, and then, you know, it probably doesn't affect his pension or whatever. You can't get fired. You've been retired.
I gotta tell you.
Don't you feel like a little bit of a clown, though, like when you've been a cop for that long, and then you retire and you get caught up in an 82nd Avenue prostitution?
Yeah, former cop should be able to avoid one of those.
Yeah, that's probably a little embarrassing, but at the same time, when people get busted, this is the same as, like, the Mitch Levy thing up in Seattle.
It's such a stupid use of
like, why are we... Look, I get it, it's illegal, and we could have the argument that it shouldn't be. And I'd listen, probably vote for it, legalize prostitution. You know what I'm saying, Jace?
Yes.
JC Babes over there? But when they bust people, you know, they just make these grandiose headlines. Like, I'm supposed to think this guy is just the worst person in the world. Nah, he's just looking for a little, looking for a little loving.
It is so silly to me that two grown individuals can't do this.
It just, it's absurd.
As long as, and I don't know, I saw in the sting.
Hey, prostitutions are.
There you go. Put me in charge of that, and I will
legalize that. U.S. Department of Prostitution.
Tomorrow. It's just, it's the dumbest thing in the world.
Secretary of Laboring in the bedroom.
As long as it's of age and you don't have the human trafficking element, and I get, everyone's like, well, there's, well, if you, maybe if you legalized it and you actually, like, maybe tried to get that out of there and took the stigma so you don't have people getting picked up on 82nd Avenue. It's just, of all the things that you can punish an adult for, paying someone to touch you in that way just seems like the silliest thing that we do, and we do lots of silly things.
And then you get, you know, like, raked over the coals in the headlines for being awful, when it's like, come on, man.
He was lonely.
Yes.
You know.
What do you want?
Well, I know what he wanted. He needs to say, you can't get it, Chris. Not on 82nd Avenue. It is hilarious, though, because that's the way I come down from work a lot of times. And it is weird, like, on a Tuesday at, like, 1 to see him out there. You're like, man, starting early. So I'm not by there at night very often, but you see the daytime ones.
Well, isn't it like Uber, you know, where you've got...
Yeah.
You got multiple times of day times and shifts day. Where like, you can get out there at any point, right?
Yes. And believe me, you will, like, I've had people be like, how do you know? I'm like, I'm just willing to guess that the gal wearing the fishnet dress, that see-through at 1 o'clock on a corner in 82nd Avenue in Lucite Heels.
She's not going to a party right now.
No, I don't think that she's just heading down to her shift at the Target.
Yeah, it's the cutest thing. My wife's always like, is that a, do you think that? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
How do you know? Good eye, I guess.
Got an idea.
All right. That in the news, November 19, 2024, the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. It's very complicated, but apparently Oregon is in the Big Ten championship game.
Yes.
Next on the Fan.